It is my habit to pray before I preach, so please join with me as I pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for another opportunity to sit at your feet. We ask that you would allow our hearts, our ears, and our eyes to witness everything that you want to give us today. Fall fresh on me, Holy Spirit. We thank you and we ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. So I hope you all were listening as the children's sermon was brought to you. We are talking about a very familiar portion of Scripture, which is Mary and Martha. And I think many of us have heard this Scripture, this passage before, but I want us to go through it very slow and methodically as not to miss anything, because sometimes when we have heard things many times before, we think we have it all and we think we know it all. Sometimes if we can just sit and listen to the story and truly see what the Lord is trying to show us, we will glean new understanding and hear something new every time. That's the way Scripture works, and it is a blessing. So as we just go through this, I just want to liberate us. If you feel like something is funny, which I hope some things will be, you have permission to laugh. If you are excited about it, you can cheer, you can clap. Do all of that. That will help me know that somebody is understanding what I'm saying. So I just want you to know that that will be very welcoming to me if you give me that sort of call and response. And if not, that's okay too. You're listening and that's good. Quiet and listening. So let us go through this passage found in Luke. So Jesus is doing what Jesus does, going about through the land, and we know that he has set his eyes on Jerusalem. So he knows what he has come to do from the Father for us. But in the meantime, he is teaching, and we just are coming off a sermon series of learning from the Master, but he is still teaching everyone that he encounters. And he encounters this woman, Martha, who actually receives Jesus into her home. And the Scripture says that she welcomes him into her home and his disciples. Don't miss that. So it wasn't just Jesus. It was also the disciples. This concept of welcoming one into their home, hospitality, we have it now in me being from New Jersey. But in the South, you all have this great tradition. I am very happy for it because I've gotten a lot of meals this way. being welcomed into people's home, that Southern hospitality that we hear about in the North is truly present, and I'm glad about it. But this concept of hospitality is not just now in our tradition, in our culture. It was then, too, in Jewish culture, and it meant a lot to welcome people into their homes. And Jesus gave a specific sort of a blessing. He had just sent out the 70, maybe about a chapter ago. And when he sent out the 70 disciples, people who have learned from him, he sent them out two by two. And he gives them this sort of acknowledgement that if you come to a city or you come to a place and the people receive you, allow your peace to remain on that place and on that person. So I just want us to picture, Martha is doing something that in culture is said to do, but Jesus acknowledges and is going to give her a special blessing for doing this. Hospitality, peace to this house. Her house will receive Jesus's peace. Now Martha has a sister named Mary who is more concerned with sitting at Jesus's feet. Jesus allows Mary to sit at his feet, and don't miss this. This is a radical move. So the sitting at a master's feet or a rabbi's feet in Jewish culture meant that you would then be their student. At this time, they did not allow women to sit in that position. A woman could not be a student of a rabbi. And from what I've gleaned, it still is that same way, that a rabbi would not take on a woman as a student. But Jesus allows and later affirms Mary's position as his student or his disciple. Now, Mary's sitting at his feet, and obviously she is there, and she's not helping her sister, whether in the kitchen or just having all the things that needed to be done to welcome the disciples and Jesus in. And Martha points this out and says, Jesus, Do you not care that Mary is not helping me? Do you not care? That was her main concern. Did Jesus not see what was going on, and did he not care? She gives her solution to the problem. Tell her to come back in the kitchen and help me. But the Lord answers her and says, Martha, Martha. He calls her name twice because he had to get her attention. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the one thing, this one thing, and it is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I just wanted to go over the passage to make sure we understood the flow and what was going on. Jesus has entered into this woman's house, has been lovingly received by her. She is showing him hospitality. In the meantime, her sister, which technically, according to tradition, should have been in the kitchen helping her, has positioned herself as a disciple of Jesus and is sitting at his feet. Martha, understandably, is a little upset by this and tells Jesus, but she calls him Lord. She acknowledges that this is Lord. Lord, tell Mary to come back in the kitchen with me. A lot of us would like to say that he rebuked her, but it's not so much as a rebuke or as an acknowledgement. Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried by many things. Coming across this family, sibling rivalry, if you will, Jesus is trying to teach us many things, and he teaches us many, many things throughout Luke, constantly disrupting the social norms and the societal norms and what we think should go on, the status quo. He is accepted into this woman's house and allows her little sister, I'd like to think, I'm a little sister, so I say little sister, to sit at his feet and be a student. This is not normal. Just like we learned last week, Jesus allows the most interesting examples to teach some folks who should know. Just like the Samaritan last week, Jesus allowed the Samaritan, the one that the Jews hated and actually thought were not close to God, to be the teacher for the lawyer. In this instance, the little sister, the younger, but the woman, is the teacher. She is the example of what it means to be a true disciple by sitting at the master's feet. Now, I'm not going to demonize Mary. I've heard enough sermons that do that, as if her hospitality was not important. I mean, this generous receiving of Jesus, it is important. Our culture continually shows us that we should love, and part of loving is serving each other. So please don't hear me say that we should not love by serving each other. But Jesus' concern was that Martha was distracted and worried by many things. Can you see it? I mean, I love to host people, and I have an apartment now, so I'm not able to do that as much, but I like being hosted too, and I go over with my friends, and we always try to help and just make everyone comfortable. And that's a big thing when you host people. When you are showing hospitality, you're trying to make sure everyone's comfortable. So if that means making sure that there's enough food to eat, enough entertainment, whatever the event surrounds, you want to make sure that all your guests are happy and comfortable. But the thing with this was that, and what we experience today a lot of times, is we're so busy trying to make everyone else happy at the event or while we're showing hospitality that we don't have any fun ourselves. For Martha, she had Jesus, the Son of the Living God, right in her house, and she was so distracted by making sure that the meals were prepared or that everybody was comfortable that she actually missed gleaning and learning from the Lord. Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried by many things. I'm sure today many of us are distracted and worried about many things. This is not a new concept. We can be distracted and worried by the things that life has brought us. Nice, what just happened in Nice is terrible, and that may have many of us distracted and worried. The shootings from last week, whether it was Dallas or Louisiana or Minnesota, Orlando, the list goes on and on. The assaults on the Turkish in Istanbul, so many things that can have us distracted and worried in our world. But what about even our private lives? Some things that are not necessarily bad. If I don't know if you all saw, but Mark came up and he reminded me before the sermon started, you left my bag. Kids can give us some distractions. I was like, what bag? What are you talking about? We can be distracted and worried about some things that are not necessarily bad. Our health, our parents, so many things that come and distract us. But what is it that we're to learn by Mary's example? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, this posture, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What does this mean for us today? A people who are consumed and worried by many distractions, some of which may be bad and some of which may actually be good. One thing that we can learn from Mary's example is humility. Sitting at someone's feet is a humble stance. We don't know everything. We can be honest, we don't even know what to pray for sometimes. I think about everything that is happening in our country. What am I even to pray for, Lord? And to acknowledge the fact that I don't know what to pray for and to give it over to the Lord, but to give space and time for that acknowledgement. She was sitting at his feet and humbling herself, realizing that this person, this Jesus, Son of the Most High God, knew more than she could ever know and had so much to teach her. Humbling herself in humility by sitting at his feet. Another thing we can learn is that the text says she was listening to what he was saying. Listening, she had an ear to hear what Jesus was saying. Over in Romans, the scripture tells us to, I beseech you, therefore, this is Paul speaking, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's back to the humility. But don't miss this. But be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, to this world's way of thinking, to the worries of this world, to the terrorism, to the fear that the news cycle will teach us. We are people of a living God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. You renew your minds by reading the word of God. And this is actually the hymnal. I mean to hold up a Bible. We have to renew our minds by the word of God, listening to the teacher, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the examples of Jesus's life, but the whole of scripture, renewing our minds so that we are reminded how Jesus thought, what Jesus said, the ways in which we are to live our lives. Mary's example teaches us a lot about devotion. We have a lot of voices coming at us. I have a political science background, so politics is something that comes naturally to me, and I am reminded to turn off whatever news channel has my eye for the day. Have I taken time to immerse myself in the Word of God? This single-minded devotion, this constant reorientation to God and to the things that God is concerned with. That is the type of devotion that Mary showed us. I could imagine being the little sister, hearing I have a big brother tell my mom, tell her to get back in the kitchen with me. I would have had something to say about that. I would have said, no, I'm here sitting at Jesus's feet or whatever the case may have been. But isn't it interesting if you read the passage, Mary never says anything. She is so enthralled with the Lord, that she is listening to him. She doesn't have time to hear what Martha says against her. Her single-minded devotion didn't even allow her to hear what her sister said, and Jesus answers for her. Sitting at Jesus's feet, Jesus answers Martha's complaint by saying Mary has chosen that better part. Not the only part. Service is important, but she has chosen the better part, the humility, the listening, and the devotion. She has chosen that better part, and it will not be taken away from her. That is my prayer for all of us today, that in the midst of all this chaos, of all that is going on in our world, that we would choose the better part, that we would understand that we don't have all the answers. We're not going to, but we serve a God who does, and we come to him humbly, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, saying, Lord, what must I do? And then we listen. Listen also to each other. Listen to each other's testimony, but most importantly, listen to the word of God. Read and dig in and feast on the word for ourselves. For even just in the examples, like I said, of the four gospels, there is so much to learn about the way Jesus lived and taught and did. And then to have a devotion that when it is time to realize that you serve God, not the news cycle, not partisan politics, not even the movements of the day, but we serve a God who is in control and who is sovereign. That is my prayer for all of us today, that we would be like Mary and see this example and take it to heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please join in with our hymn of dedication, number 297, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Let us go now into the world, realizing that we ourselves must be humble, listen to the words of the Master, and be of a single-minded devotion, that we may then transform the world so they may see the light of God. Amen.